May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Quite a few years ago, when I was in my early teens, I attended a youth camp with a local Roman Catholic church. Having little experience with the church at that time, this week proved to be formative in my life and my faith. Reading the Bible for the first time, being asked to think about what I believed in God for the first time, and riding a roller coaster with a nun in full habit for the first and most likely the only time. But one particular experience stands out in my memory. And a few of you may have heard this story before, but I think it is worth repeating today. On the final night of the retreat, approximately 50 teenagers huddled together in the meeting room to think about how we might live a life of faith. I don't recall the passage of scripture that was read, but I do remember that it was similar to today's readings, with dramatic allusions about the end of time. With my limited understanding, I listened to the priest as he told us how at the end of time the Son of Man would come with power and glory. And when he does, there would be signs of distress. The powers of heaven will be shaken. And although I'm sure it wasn't his intention, his words left me terrified. The priest continued for some time, imploring us to be ready and alert for these inevitable signs of God's coming. And suddenly, at the height of the priest's dramatic sermon, the windows blew open. A strong gush of wind tipped over the lectern, blowing the sermon notes around the room. The priest and the nuns rushed to the window, but with the strength of the wind, they were unable to shut it. And then, as if on cue, the lights went out, and all sense of control was lost. The priest tried to calm us down. He attempted to give a rational explanation for these events, but I wasn't listening, for I expected, at any moment, Jesus to come flying through the window. In the end, Jesus didn't return that day. The priest was eventually able to shut the window, and after a time, we calmed down. We went home and led our normal teenage lives. But this event left me with a sense in the back of my mind that God must be real. I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit flying through the room that day, but I do know that the Spirit of God was working in my life. I began to understand how God often meets us in surprising and unexpected ways. And knowing this helps us to understand difficult aspects of our faith, like the imagery in today's gospel reading. For it all sounds a bit strange to our ears. The apocalyptic language seems far removed from our experience. To place this passage in context, at the time Luke was writing, the world was understood as divided into two ages, the present age of darkness and the age of light to come. And the age of light to come would be realized through Jesus at the final redemption of all creation. And in the meantime, we wait in the shadows. The Bishop of London, Bishop Sarah, in her reflection on the meaning and purpose of Advent, writes, "Advent is a time of deep and dark shadows. We recognize their presence, shadows of violence, political uncertainty, and financial challenge. And we are aware of their lasting impression on us, shadows of death and illness, uncertainty and sorrow. And yet, the joy in the call of Advent is that it gives forms to the shadows." I think these images of shadow and light speak to us today, for we all like a good mystery. Mystery hidden in shadows reveals how the light of God has cast its shadow. And from within God's shadow, we are waiting to the end of the mystery, for a lifting of the darkness. You may have heard the saying that we live in the now and not yet. And this means that in Jesus, God's kingdom has broken into the world, but only partially. We see God's kingdom in glimpses, but not in full. We know how the world should be, but we are deeply aware of the present reality. And so Advent is a time to learn to wait in the midst of this reality. We wait for the future while seeking to transform the present. And transforming the present means living life to the fullest as we watch for signs of light. An ancient Advent prayer expresses it this way: "Give us grace that we may cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." And sometimes we see signs of light when we least expect it. Last Friday evening, my husband and I were walking with our friend near Leicester Square. A man approached us holding a basket in his hands. Assuming he was asking for money, we said no thank you and continued walking. He followed us a bit further, and we realized he was not asking for money, but was inviting us into his church, and his basket was full of candles. Ashamed of our misjudgment of him, we each took a candle and followed him into his church. We walked to the altar shining bright with the lights from candles below. We lit our candle, said a prayer, and sat down with others in the pew. We soon realized that we were in the French Catholic Church that we'd heard about before. And this was not your typical Catholic church. The reserved sacrament was on the altar, surrounded by large purple, red, and gold banners suspended from the ceiling. There was a praise band with African drumming in the corner and a diverse collection of artwork throughout the church. People from all walks of life were giving out candles and inviting people into the space. The priest sat back quietly in the back, waiting for people who sought him. And the church was filled with people, young people, curious people on their way home, tourists, homeless people, and many who looked as if they could need a bit of hope. One man sitting near the altar made a particular impression on us. He appeared to be quite ill. Signs of suffering were etched on his face. And after a while, with great effort, he pushed himself up off the pew. We looked at him a bit nervous about what might happen. With unsteady feet, he slowly walked to face the altar. And in a sign of devotion, he bowed low before the altar. But what he did next was more than ordinary devotion. Despite his obvious pain, he remained in this position for up to 5 minutes. And I found this deeply moving. As I watched him in and amongst the steady stream of people, I had a similar impression I had that day many years ago at youth camp. I thought, God must be real, for he is alive in the faith of this man. And so over the next few weeks, as we walk through the season of Advent, as we wait in anticipation of new life, let's take the time to recognize the glimmers of God's light that surround us, because it is from here, from this very place where we proclaim, "The light is coming, and darkness will not overcome it." Amen.